Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Welcome, good to see you. I think I've been chatting with some people on Altar Live already, and I have to readjust now away from the distractions and just come into this space. So I'm just going to start by praying. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can be creative and try new things in how we worship you, in how we gather together, in how we connect and be your church. I just thank you that we have opportunities. I thank you that we can take hold of them, and that in the middle of this, Lord God, that you will continue. You will continue for your spirit to flow. You will continue for your Holy Spirit to touch people, no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing, that through all these different ways that you are sovereign and you are God, and that you will continue your work and people can be changed and come alive and saved and just fully alive in you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever had one of those really spine-tingling moments when it suddenly dawned on you, like you just realized that you were standing in the presence of someone really significant? Like you kind of looked up and it's like, oh. I haven't had one of those, but that's all right. It'd be fun. It'd just be really good. Sometimes you imagine it, but anyway, no, maybe you don't. I used to imagine it when I worked for David Jones during uni. I'd think, oh, wouldn't it be fun if someone famous walked in? But it never happened. But anyway, it might not have happened to you. Maybe it has. But right now, let's just go back and imagine. Let's go back a few thousand years. And you're in a synagogue in a really obscure town, you know, just this backwater of the Roman Empire. And it's dusty, it's dirty, and pretty much forgotten. It's Nazareth. And as you're there that morning, a man walks in with some friends, and it looks kind of familiar. You kind of think, oh, that's right, he grew up with my son, and yeah, his father was the carpenter. He seems different. You just kind of couldn't quite put your finger on it. Anyway, you know he's been a consistent member of the synagogue. You know, he's been faithful, but he's been out of town recently and you haven't seen him. Anyway, you're just watching him. And he takes up a scroll and he reads from the prophet Isaiah. And this is recorded in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Something inside of you just, it jumps. You look up as he says, "This scripture has come true today before your very eyes." And you realize in that moment that you are in the presence of someone really significant, and you just witnessed a point in history. There's that momentarily rush of adrenaline, and you go, oh, a feeling of certainty, a feeling of almost relief. So come back out. You know, being in a synagogue that day, it would have been amazing. Like, did you go there? Did you picture that scene of what it kind of would have been like? You know, Jesus walking in, and he was different. Something had happened to him just recently, and there was something different about him. And he had an air of authority. And Luke records that you know, people stared at him intently and they were amazed at his words. Like, that's before all the doubt and the arguments and all of that. But that moment, there was this stillness, like a stopping in time probably. But what was it that Jesus was saying that made them listen? Why was it so impacting? Why would it have just struck them with such great force? What was it that changed history that day? So he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He took up a scroll which was written, you know, 700 odd years before him. And he took hold of those words and he claimed them as his. He grabbed them and he spoke them almost as if he was Isaiah. He was speaking them as if he had written them. And he claimed them as his. And he revealed who he is. And he revealed what he was about to do. He took all of those years of waiting for the Messiah, like thousands of years of waiting for this Messiah. He took hold of all of that and he drew a line in the sand and he said, it's now. Like, this is it. It's happened. The year of the Lord's favor has come. The future is certain. There is no more waiting. That's just shifted everything. Like, the whole point, all of history had been waiting up until this point. And suddenly it's come. But he spoke those words, but how do we actually know that that's what happened? Did Jesus really fulfill that prophecy? Did he really live that out? Was he really the Messiah? Was he really the one? And did he have the right to claim those words as his own? You know, the version in Isaiah is slightly different from what Luke records. And, you know, it's possibly due to several languages being thrown around. There was Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, you know, all sorts of things going on in that time. So I'm going to read out of the passage in Isaiah 61, because that's what Jesus was actually referencing. And this is what it was that people knew. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and relief from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Wow. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. That's what Jesus spoke. And he spoke that with confidence because, you know, just a few days before, the dove had descended upon him at his baptism and God had said to him, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And at that point, you know, he grabbed hold of his ministry that he'd come to do. He was no longer just the carpenter's son. He was no longer that, you know, boy growing up in Nazareth. Now he had stepped into that point in time that he was born for on earth. And the Spirit's power filled him. And because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, you know, he was filled with the Spirit's power and he went out and he started teaching and preaching wherever he went. You know, Luke 4 talks about it. He talks about how that crowds gathered around him as he was filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He taught them. He taught them about God. He taught them about God's kingdom. He showed them what life was really about. He spoke, he said, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, says Isaiah. And that's exactly what we see over the next 3 years of Jesus' ministry. We see him healing. He was healing the leprosy and paralyzed and the blind and the deaf and the young and the old and the Jew and the Gentile, the slave and the free. Like, he didn't discriminate. He saw everyone and he bound up their brokenhearted. He bound up their physical bodies. He bound up their emotional, you know, selves, their hearts. He bound up their minds, their spirits. He didn't leave anything unnoticed. His compassion was poured out on everyone. Isaiah says it was to proclaim freedom for the captives. You know, this word proclaim in this part of Isaiah is the same word that is used to talk about the year of Jubilee. Now, the year of Jubilee is the 50 in the Jewish cycle of their life and all the things that are going on in the Jewish calendar. The 50th year is the year that God marked out especially for the setting free of people, for the returning to people of what belongs to them. And that's what we find in Jesus. In Jesus, we are set free. We are set free from sin and death. And he returns to us everything that really should be us. It's who we are. You know, when we've kind of got lost in amongst life maybe, we feel squashed and unknown, Jesus returns us to who we are, and in him we can stand tall and be known by him and loved by him. Isaiah goes on and he says, there was release from darkness for the prisoners. And in Jesus we saw exactly that. We saw him heal the blind. You know, they were literal prisoners of darkness. But we also saw him opening up hearts to receive him and to know him and to understand. He changed people's circumstances. Where before they couldn't see or they couldn't do this or they couldn't move here, he shifted that and he changed it. And lastly, Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Basically, he was saying, I'm here. The Messiah has come. You don't need to wait anymore. The future is certain because Jesus took hold of that prophecy and he actually turned it into a reality. He didn't just speak those words in the synagogue to encourage people and to help them to look forward to that time when God's favor would come. No, he said, no, it's here, it's now, and it's in me. And he turned that into reality. He lived that reality. The year of the Lord's favor had arrived in Jesus. And as I read through that passage in Isaiah, I love the imagery that Jesus, that comes out with that phrase that he, of binding the brokenhearted. Like we can almost feel that. We can feel that sense that his hand would go on us and bind up what is broken. You know, when we break a bone, we put a, you know, protective kind of covering on it and put it in a cast. We don't just leave it, because the tendency, if we did that, the bone would just heal a bit wonky. It would not, just wouldn't be quite right. Might look odd. And it probably wouldn't be ever strong again if we just left it to its own devices. And so we bind it up. We put that support on it, that cast on it, to keep it in place, to say this is how it should be. And then we let it heal. This soft tissue kind of starts filling in the gap where the break is, and if that's the bit that fuses the bones together. And then over time, that then turns itself into bone again. and firms up and becomes strong. And at that point, then, you know, we can take that binding away and let that body, that arm, that leg live and breathe and work the way it's supposed to. And I love that imagery because that's what Jesus does. Like, he brings in that certainty. He shores us up around so that we can be fully alive and well. It doesn't matter if we're just a little bit broken or a bit out of shape or bruised and battered, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual. Jesus can step into that space in our world and shore it up and bring in that certainty, bring in that reality of who he is. And in that space with him, healing begins, healing starts. We can become complete and whole in that reality of Jesus. That stuff is like that. That's what it's showing me about Jesus. Like, as the Bible records that event in Luke, and you know, as we go back and we look at what Jesus was referencing in Isaiah, that shows me so much about who Jesus is and what his role on earth was for. But what does that mean for me today? Like, as Jesus finished his role on earth, he gave us the task to carry on. Like, he said, it's your job now to do this. And so I actually realized that he actually passed that verse on to us, Isaiah 61, and he said, this is yours now. You know, whenever I've read that verse in the past, or whenever I've heard it spoken out in church, I've always found it a little bit weird hearing someone else proclaim something that was Jesus's. Like, Isaiah 61 was for him. It was about him. It was telling us that he was coming. And so when I've heard it often spoken by a person in church, I've kind of gone, oh, hang on, you can't say that. But then I just realized, as I was reading these passages this week, that Jesus has actually handed that on to us. So he's actually saying, no, this is yours now. I've done my part. This is you. Now you need to do these things. Because now he gave us the Spirit of the Lord. And we can say, with the Holy Spirit poured out over us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he asks us to go out into the world and to preach and to tell people this and to actually live this for him, to be his hands and his feet on earth. He asks us to proclaim the good news that you are loved. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to tell people that you are loved. We can proclaim this in church, we can proclaim it online, we can proclaim it in, you know, SRE and all these different places, that we can say you are loved and proclaim that out. He wanted us to include people. He wanted us to include them by binding them up, by binding up that broken heart that is there through C3 cares or life groups and you know, being a support and a family to people around us. Like, that's how we bind people up today. We shore them up and we bring Jesus into their space. And we let them know that healing comes in that space. Healing can come through C3 cares as we just pour out love on people and care them and bring those hampers to them. Healing can come in the space of a life group where you've got a group of people around you praying and caring and stepping into your world. Healing can come just, you know, as we just be family together, go on a walk around the river or whatever it is we can do, but we just be family. That's where healing starts and Jesus can pour in his goodness. And he asks us to proclaim freedom. by helping people to discover who God created them to be. Like, that's where their freedom can come, when they can look at themselves and go, God made me, and he must have known what he was doing, so I must be okay. And that in the middle of that, like, you know, we can do these things. We can let people know through kids church, through youth, you know, through discipling, through all sorts of ways of, you know, a little text message of speaking that love and freedom into people, that they know who God created them to be, that they can find their fit in him and feel life in that space. And Jesus also asked, you know, showed us that how we can be equipped so that we can be the light in the dark place. You know, maybe we're not going to touch someone's eyes and they can open, but we can be that light to help them in darkness. We can help turn on that light and reveal who Jesus really is, so that they can start understanding and let God shine into their world. That we demonstrate, we show his light so that people can see and be released. That's our future, and it's certain. Like, he's shown us. This is for you now. Like, we don't need to kind of walk around going, okay, well, what do I do? What do I do now? Like, what happens? Jesus is gone. What do I do? No, he's passed on Isaiah 61 to us, and he said, this is yours. You take hold of it. You take hold of the Holy Spirit, and you speak those things. You speak love, and you include people, and you help them to get free and get equipped to make this happen. The year of the Lord's favor has come in Jesus, and it's actually going to come in us too. That it doesn't have to be this continual thing in the future. Oh, we have to wait another 50 years for that to happen. No, now, every year, every day, that the year of the Lord's favor is now, because in Jesus, we can bring that. Because Jesus is still alive here today and alive in us and working through us. So what can I change? What can I do now, today, to follow him, like to be that for him? How can I pour out the Lord's favor on others, showing them who they are? It's just what I said. Let them know they're loved by God, that they're included in his family, that they're free to be who they were created to be in Jesus, and that they can be equipped to serve others. They're the things that we can have too. You know, anything in there is where I make my start in following Jesus. So if there's something there today that jumps out at you and you go, yeah, I want to be included. Jump onto Order Live and talk to someone, because that's a family where you can start being included. Or if you want to help include someone, then, you know, bring up someone in your life group and let them know you're praying for them. It's just so practical and so simple, just to follow Jesus and just to do what he did in our everyday. But you might find that you think, well, I don't have that Spirit of the Lord on me. You might feel like that you haven't met God for that first time, that you don't actually know him. That starts by praying, talking to him and just saying, God, I want to know you. Please come into me. I'm sorry for what I've done. Please let me be your child. And as you pray that prayer and talk to him, you know, use your own words, things that come into you as you think of him, then his Holy Spirit will be in you. Jesus promises that when we follow God, when we follow Jesus, that we would be born again and we would have a new spirit in us spirit is the Holy Spirit. You also might find that you think, well, I know I've got the Holy Spirit, but I just feel like there's this little extra boost that I need in the Spirit. And that's a reality too in the baptism of the Spirit. That, yes, we have the Holy Spirit in Jesus, but that little extra boost when you're not quite sure how to talk to someone and you just want an extra, that extra connection with God, that extra connection with His Spirit, to be able to just really help someone who is in a particular need or, you know, has a particular situation, and you just really know that that you want to be able to speak into that space with them. And you just ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, to pour it out fresh in a new way. And you might find that there's different things that happen, that you might find you start speaking in a heavenly language, that this other thing happens, and that's okay. That's for you and God to talk and to communicate and to let His Spirit just work through you. You might find that as you go and touch someone, that they're healed. There's all sorts of things that extra baptism of the Holy Spirit, that little extra boost that He gives us, can happen if we just let ourselves open to Him doing that. So this morning, I just want to pray. I want to pray if you want to meet God for the first time. And I also want to pray if you would like the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now in your lounge room, wherever you are, just to go out into this world and to bring light in the darkness, to bring hope, to bring certainty, to bring the reality that the year of the Lord's favour is in here now. So why don't you just close your eyes? I'm going to pray, Lord God, I just thank you. I thank you this morning. I thank you for those people that want to meet you for the first time, that they want to just talk to you and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for walking away from you, for not knowing you. Please forgive me and help me to be your child. Jesus, I thank you for those people that right now that your Holy Spirit is pouring into them and letting them know that they are loved and included in your family, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that you will set them free and equip them to live this life. And Lord God, we just pray also for anyone here, you know, online, that they would like to receive your baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just that extra bit of icing on the cake, Lord God, just to help them and equip them to step out into the world and to be your light and to be healing hands and to be a voice of encouragement that has words that are directly from you. Lord God, I just pray right now for anyone who is desiring that, that as just they talk to you, as they say to you, Lord God, please baptize me now in the Holy Spirit, that your Spirit would pour out over them, that you would give them a language, a heavenly language, Lord God, to pray in and to just pour out over them, Lord God. That you would equip them with gifts just to be your hands and feet in this world. Lord God, we just thank you right now. We lift up your name. We worship you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.